Mayfly time is the pinnacle for most brown trout anglers, and we're pleased to announce our next Ireland on the Fly Masterclass is focusing on mayfly tactics with international angler, guide and renowned fly tyer Jackie Mahon.
On Thursday the 25th of April at 8 p.m, Jackie will be discussing how to make the most of the conditions, the best flies and methods to use, as well as giving his tips and insights from a lifetime of experience.
So, to join us for this masterclass on Thursday 25th of April, just go to www.irelandonthefly.com/masterclass. Tickets cost €10 and all attendees will get a copy of Jackie's notes as well as access to the recording of the webinar afterwards.
And stay tuned for our masterclasses throughout 2024, covering salmon, rivers, lochs, streamers, lures, dries, everything to make you a better salmon or trout fly angler, helping you to catch more this year and to learn from the best. For more information, email us on info@irelandonthefly.com.
Hello and welcome to the Ireland on the Fly podcast about the people and places of fly fishing in Ireland. With International Women's Fly Fishing Day held recently, for this latest episode, we wanted to speak to young Irish female fly anglers to find out about their love of the sport, how they got into it, and what can be done to make fly fishing more inclusive. Alva McDonnell and Rebecca Moffat-McGinn have progressed from the Irish youths teams to currently fishing on the senior Irish ladies fly fishing team and have a wealth of knowledge and insights about the sport and are still just in their 20s. And Tom, before we hear from them, it was great to talk to these two young, talented anglers who are so passionate about the sport.
It was really great. I'd heard about the two girls qualifying for the youths team in 2017. It was really great. And good to see that they're really, like any youth angler that's in a team, that they're continuing it on. Because, you know, that's always the fear that sometimes somebody will be good at, like, anything that's underage and then just lose interest in it. But they really seem to be passionate about it and looking forward to their fishing. It was great to talk to them about it. And just on the fact that on the female side, I thought when we were talking, I think it was after we talked and finished the interview, how Alva had said that she didn't get into fishing to be a female, as a female angler. She just got into fishing to be an angler. And I think that was, I thought that was really good when she said that. And besides by, I mean, like, we should be concentrating here on with them is just encouraging youths. And as you said, you mentioned inclusivity there. And that's what we want to do. And that's why it was so great to talk to them, because these are two young people who suddenly found themselves through their parents, as we discuss, but and it comes across in the interview, with the help of their local clubs, getting them involved in fishing. And through that, they have got a love for it and really, really come along really good in it.
Like you said, where Alva was saying is you want to be known as as a fly angler, not just a female fly angler. And it kind of, with International Women's Fly Fishing Day that was held recently, it's kind of, and, you know, we asked them about them. They said, yes, it's important that you have these kind of events and these kind of days to kind of raise awareness. But then at the same time, you kind of wanted to get to the stage where they're just fly anglers.
Well, we do know at the moment that probably within fly fishing, it's probably predominantly men or male. So we do need some kind of events or some kind of structure that is, back to the buzzword, inclusive, to get them in. But what we want to strive for, that it's just about fly angling. It's not about whether it's women's or men's, that it's getting people, and particularly youths, involved in fishing initially. I mean, we say fly angling because that's our love, but I think in all fishing. And it's very interesting that Alva said, like, you know, she initially loved sea angling.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But for me, the key word, it's youths. Because
yes.
I think in this day and age, and I would hope, you know, and I think it's generally accepted. It's like, you know, when you have kids, young kids, it doesn't matter. It's not like, oh, I'm bringing the boys fishing. If you have boys and girls, it doesn't matter. Like, I have a girl, I have two boys. She does soccer. She does football. She does exactly what the boys do. And I would hope that now this generation, you know, growing up, it's there is no gender divide. And for me, the key is if we accept that, by and large, as a whole, I think most parents, dads, mothers would be of the exact same thinking, wanting the best for their kids growing up. Then what's key is the youths. So it's not saying, oh, focusing just on the girls, that we need to get you need to get the kids in. And whether you're a boy or a girl, just come on in and let's encourage it. And again, we hear it in the interview, the importance of the Dublin Trout Anglers, the importance of the club up in Dundalk.
Dundalk Trout Anglers Association, yeah.
And they were key. So the family introduced the first link, but actually bringing them on, I think that it's the clubs. And, you know, you're involved, obviously, with your own club there up in Cornamone, aren't you, Tom?
Yeah, we've done it for... done it for years here. At the moment, it's mainly fly time. And to be honest here with the fly time, there was never, and quite often from 1 year, we would have more female youths tying flies than we would have had male, young lads.
Yeah, and actually,
it would vary from year to year.
So the fly tying, and that's another good way of getting kids into it, isn't it?
Like, yeah, it actually is, yeah.
My young fella, he loves arts and crafts. And I remember one of the years I brought him to the fly fishing fair in Galway, and they had the competition for the youths. And so he naturally, like, I'm useless at fly tying. I don't have the patience for it. But he has a natural flair for the arts and crafts, and he was able to pick it up. And he loved it, loved looking at it and putting it together. And he subsequently won the prize. And he still has the box of vineyard fly tying stuff. Now, he hasn't taken it in years, but he actually still has his vice on his desk. You know, so for him, you know, you paint a picture, you do a drawing, you tie a fly. It's all in the same kind of area, like, you know. And I just thought it was brilliant. There's another angle into it, like, you know.
Yeah, no, that's class. I mean, and hopefully that'll be there for him to follow through. But like exactly as you said, it could have easily been your girl, your daughter that had done it.
Exactly. And like, when Glory's, you know, she's now five, so I'm going to obviously bring her to the next thing. You know, bring her and the two boys, like, so it's
yeah.
That's what I think. And you know, she could be just the one that gets into it, or the boys could be the one, or none of them are into it. It just, you just, and again, we mentioned it, what is it about angling? So it just sticks, you know.
It is, yeah. And I think you mentioned it as well, it's giving them the opportunity to find out, you know. You introduce them to, you let them try it. Hey, most of them might like it, but a couple of them might. And work forward from them. But you're giving them the opportunity, you're introducing them and letting them try it out for themselves.
Exactly. And whether you're a boy or girl, it doesn't make a whit of difference. And I think nowadays in this time and age, you know, I don't think it does make a difference, hopefully. And from the vast majority of people, I'd say that's the way it is.
Well, science by, I mean, when you listen to Alva and Rebecca talking, it's enthusiasm from youth anglers that just left the youth scene but are now young anglers and just still enthusiastic. To be honest with you, that's all that matters.
Exactly. And I hope they do inspire, you know, the next generation coming through as well. Okay, well, sure, look, let's hear from Alva and Rebecca now. And I first asked Alva about how she got into fly fishing.
From a young age, I always was sea fishing with my dad and like the extended family. I wanted to go fishing with my dad on the weekend then. And he showed me then to, with his fly fishing club, the Dublin Trout Anglers. I went to the juvenile days with them, with my brother and my sister. And they had really good, a lot of the club members would be there and showing us how to cast and like how to catch fish. And a lot of them were in Southern County Fishery in Carlow. And so you catch big fish like with very minimal effort, and so that also like gave us a lot of motivation to start fishing. And so I went just to a few more competitions with Dublin Trout anglers from there, and then got to know a few more of the people, a few more skills, a few more different techniques, dry fly, wet fly, even a bit about fly tying and stuff with the Dublin Trout. And then I just kind of went to more competitions, met more people. And then in 2017, I qualified with Rebecca on the youth's international team. And then I feel like once I got to know another girl my age doing it, I think it encouraged me to keep going like with it.
So were you into the fishing? Like you mentioned sea fishing there. So was it something that even as a kid kind of just fascinated you, that you wanted to be standing there watching? Because a lot of kids would be like, I'm bored, I want to do something else.
I always had an interest in sea fishing because like we catch like mackerel or pollock or like smooth hen as well, or like very few, or the, you know, the blind jemmies and those kind of things, or crab fishing as well. We'd always do that. And we went up to, we have like a holiday home kind of place up in Dundalk, close to where Rebecca lives. And we would always take a boat out there and go crab fishing. And it was all, it was a lot of like sea orientation hobbies, kind of like we did sailing as well and kayaking and all that kind of thing as young, from a young age. So I just kind of kept up the water sports with the sea, fly fishing.
Interesting. And it is interesting because, like, again, you know, you grew up in an urban area.
Yeah, I know.
You know, but what I think is it's not a barrier.
No, definitely not. See, I was also into the Sea Scouts as well in Dunleary. And so that kept up like the sailing and the sea kind of orientation as well. So it wasn't like it was madness me being in a boat, or like it wasn't like it was unusual for me to go fishing, because like a lot of other people in the Sea Scouts would have sailed or would have had boats or whatever. So like they knew what it was like to literally have to go out sailing for an afternoon, or for me going out fishing for an afternoon, you know.
So again, it was family influence and where you grew up and what you were introduced to in terms of the different sports. And what about yourself, Rebecca? What's your own involvement and background in it?
Yeah, well, when I was younger, we used to go on holidays to like America the whole time, and the house was beside a lake. So we were always fishing for bass there during the summers. And then when we came back to Ireland, we were just looking to keep up the hobby. And then just my dad organised with Dundalk Brown Trout Anglers to get a day out on the Féin with Matt Campbell and Fred O'Hagan. And they took me out, and just ever since then, I've just been very involved with it. And Dundalk Trout, like, they are really good with the youth anglers. They really push everyone to go to the trials and everything, because I never knew there was even an Irish team for fly fishing. And they kind of told us all. And my brothers as well, the two of them are on the youth team this year. And just, yeah, no, it definitely got us all into it.
So in terms of, like, obviously to kind of graduate to that kind of level in terms of the youths, like, how much fishing would you have been doing? You know, was it kind of during the holidays? Was it kind of always constantly out when you could be doing it?
Just on the weekends, we'd always go to the river. We started off in the river, and then we'd always go up to Court Lock in just outside Dublin. That's when we got onto like the rainbow trout. And that, but that's standing on a bank, like not out on a boat. And then we got out in a boat in Lean. We became members of that. And then, just the qualifiers. I think my first qualifier was my second time ever out in a boat fishing. And then just kind of kept up with those things, yeah.
Sorry, Rebecca, that only your second time ever out in a boat was a qualifier. How did you do?
I caught one fish in the last half Excellent. Hour. Yeah, so that was good.
Excellent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a bit like you, Tom, saying your first time was at fishing for Ireland was on a river.
The first time I ever fished a river competition was in a world championships when I was put on a river section.
Oh, wow.
I'd never actually fished a river competition before. It had been all lakes competitions. So kind of with you on that one. But
what's this moving water in front of me?
Yeah, standing on a stone in the middle of the river. Yeah.
It's actually interesting, Tom, and just hearing Rebecca and Alva talk, there is two things stand out for me. One is the influence of family. You know, I think that seems to be a general kind of common thing in terms of how people get into the sport. Obviously, you have the outliers in terms of people just, you know, you do get the exception in terms of, you know, family weren't into it and they just got into it. But the other thing that struck me as well is the importance of clubs.
Yeah.
In terms of encouraging the youth, holding competitions, whatever it is, like.
You just, yeah, both of you have just mentioned it there, the local clubs, how they helped you. I think I've always said it's so important that you get a chance. I mean, the way I look at it, you got a chance to find out whether you're going to like fishing or not. And, you know, maybe you wouldn't have liked it, but you got the chance. And through that, through the clubs bringing you out and doing, like, let's say, on the River Féin or the Dublin Trout Anglers bringing you out, Alva, you got a chance of finding out. And suddenly, whoa, I like this. You know, I like this. It's, you know, finding out exactly how it's done, and it's a bit of fun. I've always been saying it. Clubs can play such an important role. And it's great, actually, to hear, you know, when Dara's asked you where it's come along, you know, he just said there initially it's the family, but how the clubs stepped in and provided you the chance of going further.
No, definitely, yeah. And the Dundalk, they would, the Dundalk club, they would hold fly tying lessons as well over the winter. So it was great just to learn everything about fly fishing. But no, it's definitely really helped me along in my journey.
Can I ask you, in terms of Alva, you're just out from college, and Rebecca, you're in college at the moment. And we were kind of just talking before we came on air there, Tom, as well, as in terms of, you know, college is infamous for the societies and the clubs and the social life. And yet, I can't think of a fly fishing club. Like Alva, you're saying there wasn't one in UCD. Rebecca, there's none in DCU. I went to Trinity. I can't remember one there.
There was one in GMIT. No, there you have it.
Ah, but that's the culture. You know what I mean?
There was.
DCU and UCD. Yeah,
there was.
They don't have all the courses there, though. So.
You know, can I just say, it was Galway RTC back then, which is another thing. But yeah, there was. And there was no fishing club. No fly fishing club in either.
But that's, like, and you know, we bring it on to the social thing. Like, there's a clubs for everything.
Isn't it
incredible to think, you know, that it's, there's none fly fishing, like, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely a place that they can improve. But I feel like there, if some person needs to take control of, like, the whole, like the whole, like, find a venue, find the gear, find all that to provide for college students, because people aren't going to buy waders for one time trying it out to see if they like it or not. Do you know? So it's gonna, it's a big thing to start up, but I think once it starts, it could have a few people that'd be interested in it.
But you know, like you were saying there, though, like as well earlier, is you've got kayaking clubs.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Yeah, there's kayaking clubs. Yeah, but and they have the kayaks to provide, and they have the stretch of the river that they can use. And they have the swimming pool that they can practice in. And like, there's no reason why you couldn't practice casting on a field or in a pool, or even
in a pool.
Like, even like aiming the cast at like a hoop or something. I don't know. You could definitely do that. In, because the pool is huge.
Tell me this, growing up, and you know, say from secondary school into to college, did your friends kind of think you were mad, wondering what the hell are you doing? Like, what's that all about? Like,
yeah, definitely. Like, they didn't see the attraction to fishing at all. Like, they still don't. They're like, but I always say, like, you can't appreciate fishing until you do it yourself, because it just looks like you're casting and you're waiting, but you're not. You're literally thinking about everything else, and the weather and the wind and like the fly and what type of fish it is and where you are in the lake, what's the surface. Like, you're thinking of everything. And like, people watching it that haven't done it, I don't think they would appreciate that.
Spoken like every other fisherman. I mean, it's what we all encounter. It's when we tell people we fish. Yeah. But doubly so, I suppose, probably with your circle now at the moment, like when you say there's no fly fishing club in either of the universities you're in, you know? And when you tell people, you get that, oh my God, you fish, yeah? But have you ever tried, have either of you brought people fishing to try it? Any of your friends?
Yeah, I brought one of my friends and her boyfriend, brought them down to the lake. But the boyfriend fishes and brought them. Right. But no, they weren't too interested in it, really.
What did she say? Well, after you took her, what did she say?
I don't know. She wasn't coming back. She said she'd come out. We went to
the river. I'll call you. Don't call me.
But just like what you were saying there, because I remember when I first told my friends that like I'd started fly fishing, because everyone kind of knows about just fishing. They don't really know about fly fishing, and they thought like I was actually just like fishing for like flies, like, you know.
My friends thought that too. My friends thought that as well.
No wonder they thought you were nuts. Like,
yeah, exactly.
But you know, I find as we're talking here, like, you realize it's less of a gender thing in the sense of like I was saying, my friends, they all play golf. Now I think they're daft, but like, they think I'm nuts, like, because they're like, you stand in a river, nothing happens, and that's your day. Like, and when you do catch fish, you put them back. And we always say that, isn't it? A fisherman or angler or whatever, you try it and it just takes hold of you, and there's no, you know, rhyme or reason. That it's not really a man, male or female thing. It's, do you think it's more just the fact that maybe women just traditionally haven't been encouraged to get involved in the sport, you know, and that if more were, like, you know, the male counterparts, a certain percentage would just take it up and go, yeah, love it, this is great.
Yeah, probably. And I feel like in the olden days, like, the dads would probably just be like, oh, we're taking out the boys to fishing, that my sons go fishing, the girls that have no interest in it. But yeah, I think that needs to change, probably, just that everyone can go fishing, the sons and daughters.
Go on, Alva, do you think it is changing?
Sorry, no, I think it is changing, in terms of, if you've talked to any of the women on the with ILFA, with the ladies. I think all of them have a passion and want to fish, whether they started fishing with their husbands or with their dads or whatever. They all are very keen anglers, and I don't see why more people couldn't be. But I think people, like women now, would prioritize other things before their hobbies. And it's like, I feel like, I don't know why, I feel like a generational thing, like men would prioritize their hobbies more so than women would do. I just feel like that's a lot of my friends, they would have career and they'd have like going out and that kind of thing rather than a hobby. Whereas a lot of like the lads that I'm friends with, they would have their football or they'd have their golf or they'd have something else, like some other outlet, you know?
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it like that, like in terms of...
Yeah, the only thing what I've seen there, and you touched on, Rebecca, was, you know, traditionally, let's say, for, you know, the father brought the son out fishing. I see that changing. Now, I would have come from a background where I was taken out fishing. I have three older sisters, and they weren't a lot of dapping. One of my sisters, Elizabeth. But I really think that is changing. Where I'm seeing is a lot of my friends who have daughters, and they're really encouraging them to fish. So I see that as a sea change, but definitely it wasn't always like that.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah, definitely wasn't always like that.
No, but I think
like fathers who fish would encourage any of their kids to go fishing, to have someone in the boat with them. Like, I know that's what I feel like my dad, when he'd go fishing, he'd like ask us if we wanted to go, or like even if I wasn't free, he'd ask my sister or my brother or whatever. And neither of them have any interest in fishing. They just want someone else in the boat.
just to tag along.
Yeah, but even like, and then if they do like it, then they can come more. And I think that's how I got more involved, because I did enjoy it, and I liked the actual sport of it.
It's great. I just touching on a broader thing there, like I remember a time when, you know, here rural locally, and I live in a Gaelic football area, you know, only the guys went to play Gaelic football when I was growing up, but it's not the case now. So it isn't, and it's great. It's absolutely great. So I really like to see that. And as I said, I think we are seeing it, that even if it's only been brought along to sit in the boat, but you know, but actually, in all fairness, there was a lot of sons as well that were just brought along to sit in the boat. So that wasn't it, but at least everybody's brought out, and then you get a chance to see, do you like it, as you did, Alva.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for me, and like I've three kids, two boys and a girl, and it's the same thing. Like, they all do football, they all do soccer, they all do taekwondo, they all do fishing. You know, there's no gender breakdown. It's just like, yeah, you're coming. And then also the flip side of it is if I want to go fishing, I get to bring the kids, I get away with it more so.
Yeah,
the reality. Like, and I always talk about this, I think I've mentioned it before, Tom, as well, it's just giving them, like, you know, they see the fishing magazines around, they see the pictures, you know, and then when they see the fish, and it just, you're trying to just develop something in them. It might just touch a spark in them. That's what you're hoping. And, you know, and years later, they might leave it. They come back to it and go, oh yeah, geez, I remember doing that one with my dad when I was younger. And, you know, because that's how I got back into fishing. I was brought fishing as a kid, course fishing with my uncle at the time. And there was just something latent in me that 20 years later, when I was moving down to Tipperary, I have to get back fishing. And, you know, so it was that spark that was there. Like, and I think, you know, it's the same with kids. If you can just give it to them. And again, we bring it back to the importance of the youths and the importance of the clubs, you know.
And actually, could I say, both of you, you're still fishing right through college, aren't you?
Yeah.
I know. Did you fish the Leinsters? Actually, did you fish the Leinster qualifier this? You did
the one that was just on. It was just on there. Yeah, I fished that.
Did you fish it, Rebecca?
No, I didn't. We had a little trial there on Sunday.
Oh, that's on Sheelan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was Sunday, and then the other one was on the Saturday, the Lochleen one.
Well, I was going to get on, because I want to ask now how you did, but what I was saying was I didn't even fish during college. So fair play to you. Yeah, I actually didn't even join the GMIT or RTC fishing club. I actually stopped fishing when I was in college.
Disgraceful. Yeah. That's just disgraceful.
I know, it is shocking. It's shocking.
Why was that, Tom?
I keep a diary, and I have a diary from when I was 12, when I was fishing. And there are no entries from when I was in college. I went fishing once. Yeah, I just I'd lost all interest in it. And then when I came, moved back here, I was 23, 24, I just started fishing again. Yeah.
But it's an easy thing. I think it's an easy hobby to, you can leave it if you don't have time for it. Yeah. You can take it back up when you do. Do you know, like I did take a good, like I was in like Amsterdam, I was in the Netherlands for 3 months on a college, like Erasmus thing. But then when you come back, you can still take it up again. It's not like you've any like training that you have to do gym every 3 times a week. Like, do you know, it's usually like you just need to, you just need to go out and fish, like.
Well, I'm dead impressed with the 2 years still fishing during college.
Can I ask you, Rebecca Nova, is what made you go for the kind of the youths, the kind of that's the next step? Because, you know, the vast majority of fly anglers, they're just happy to just, you know, tip along and just their own. What made you kind of want to go that next level? Like, Rebecca, you might give us your insights.
Well, it was purely just the Dundalk Brown Trout Anglers. They said that the qualifiers were on and they're doing like car lifts to get all the kids like that were eligible for it to bring them all up to, I think our first one was on Loch Bain in 2017, bring us all up there. And we fished that one. Then the second trial was on Loch Lean. So yeah, just hugely the club. And then my dad as well. And my brother was trying out as well. So yeah, but definitely the Dundalk Brown Trout, like they just really pursued it with us, and that's how it kind of, because told us about it and everything. And
mine was the same. Yeah, mine was the same. It was like, well, two other boys that were older than me had done it, had fished for Ireland like 2 years before, but I think I was still, I wasn't too focused on the competition. I didn't know what the competition was when like I entered it. Dad just said, oh, do you want to do this competition? And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, it's the same as every other competition, until I realized then like there was more young people and like what it actually meant. So I never knew like, oh, this is for the Irish team, or like this is like, I didn't focus on that too much like when starting it. And then it was just good to see that there was young people doing it, and then same to see Rebecca as well. Like, it was good, it's just good to like be there and be in like a younger community of people, not just with Dublin Trout Anglers. Like, obviously there's still a few, I think there was three or four youth anglers in Dublin Trout, and like all of them were going to the youths qualifier. So I was like, I may as well join them.
And that's it. Like, does it become a social thing once you're kind of, you're surrounded by, like you said, you're kind of your own age, you know, it becomes then that social thing?
Well, within the youths, I think they're very good at having training days and training weekends and like that kind of thing, that it kind of was social for that year that we were on the team. I feel like if you didn't make the team, you weren't going to those training things, so you wouldn't have been involved in it as much. But like, I think it was within that year of 2017, I kind of only saw what the level of fishing, the level of skill you can have when fishing. Like, I'd only ever seen it like with Dad or like with the Dublin Trout people, but I wouldn't have noticed that like this is how they think. I'd just be like, okay, that's like what I'm using today or whatever. But like, when you're in the competition, they're telling you, okay, so when this happens, change this fly, or when this happens, change this, or whatever. And you would never think about it in that depth or in that detail until you're on the team and they're teaching you like exactly what to do, or like why they're doing it that way, or why you have used this kind of nylon and not the other stuff, why you use mud and gink and all that stuff. Like, do you know?
So, and would you say that it helps your fishing?
Oh, definitely. That gave me more of an like encouragement to actually, as to why there's so much brands and why there's so much variety and why there's so many flies, like why everything is the way it is when you know more about fishing and know more about the skill of it, and like how each angler has their own methods and like their own flies as well. Like, it definitely like gives you a bit more like meaning to the sport and like more interest as well to see how can you improve yourself when you know all these skills from other people.
Rebecca, do you find it as well as your social circle? Is your fly fishing over here and, you know, the rest of your life is over here? Or do you find your social side, it's in the fly fishing stage, or are they completely separate? Like,
sort of separate, kind of. But it is a huge social thing. Like, the people from the youth team, I feel like that year, me and Alvaron in 2017, it was quite like close-knit. There was a lot of like new people that came in and we're learning and all that. And even now, like, if I was going down to a lake that I wouldn't be too sure about, but I knew that like this boy, he lives right beside it, that's his home lake, like I'll ask him this week, does he know what's working and that. So it's a great for like now when there's ladies trials, like it can be anywhere in the country, and that we kind of have those connections to just find out what's working. But kind of, yeah, Al was the one person that sort of like two social lives, like we kind of meet up outside of fishing and that. But no, everyone else is kind of just a fishing friend.
Tell me this, in terms of what's your own, Rebecca, your own favorite style of fishing? Is it lakes? Is it?
Lakes, yeah, yeah. And dry fly fishing, if I can get it, yeah. That would be my favorite. But definitely Loch Leen and any of those ones. I used to do the rivers a lot when I was younger, but just recently I haven't got back to it. But no, I definitely hope to get back to it now.
And Alva?
I would be actually like the exact same, like lakes, dry fly. I did a bit more river there during COVID because, like, you know, when we had a 5K limit, I could fish the Dodder with my dad every other weekend. And I really enjoyed that. That was all like kind of small trout, but and it was just a good sport. But in terms of if I was taking the day out to go fishing, I prefer to go to a lake because bigger fish and wider stretch to cover. Like,
yeah, great. And Leen is a nice water.
Leen, yeah, it's so nice. And like, it works when it's. When it's sunny and when it's raining, do you know, like if you spend the day on Corrib or whatever, it's so big and like it's gorgeous, obviously. Don't get me wrong, but like for it to be a good day, it has to be like windy and wet, and it's just like, oh, it just wrecks your hair.
Is that your favorite place to fish in Ireland, Ava?
Loch Leen. It probably would be, yeah. If we were to go anywhere, that would probably be the main one as well. It's not too far to get to. Like, don't get me wrong, like I do love, we had trials on Corrib and Shielan and I think the internationals on Conn, and they are like gorgeous lakes and love to fish them a bit more. The wild trout as well are really good to catch. But I feel like in terms of how often I fish Loch Leen and like knowing the rainbow trout there, like they're always going to be different. They're always going to be on something different, and they're always going to be like a different task you have to complete by the end of the day in order to catch a fish, I think, in Loch Leen. And that test is kind of good, I felt like, every time you go there. And it's dry fly is good as well, which I like.
How did the trial on Shielan go? Because Shielan's fishing really tough at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it was tough going.
Yeah.
I think 3 fish caught out of the 14 of us.
Yeah. It's about that average at the moment, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I didn't catch.
Did either of you do any good?
No.
Any chances?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got one pluck, but it was the fish jumped in front of me, and I like just pulled it. It was pulling wet, and
yeah,
he pulled it, but he didn't. He didn't latch on. But yeah. I fished it the week before because I'm struggling for the place in the team for next year. So I was like, I need to get a practice day in, and I caught I caught a 7-pound trout on Loch Shielan.
Oh,
my first
wow.
time fishing it. So I was literally like, this is my luck gone. I've caught my fish now. I was like, the odds of catching a fish is like 1 in every 5 times you go. So I was like, that's my odds.
You obviously haven't delved into it too much then on the statistics side.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So I feel like my luck had run out after I caught him. So.
Oh, wow. And Rebecca, did you have any chances?
No, there was one fish flash. We saw one fish all day, but my boat partner, the two of us had nothing. It was very tough going.
I heard it because I you know, the intro pro was on it previous week, and I knew a couple of guys on it. A couple of the guys, they were lucky, but others, I think, when 72 fish in that day, 72 fished the intro pro, and only, I think it's about, not 100%, about 20 caught fish. So that'll tell you. You know, it is fishing.
There was a competition the day before our trial. I think there was 42 anglers and like 2 people caught fish.
Yeah.
So it was that scared us all. Yeah.
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 And you had a couple of fish on Leen in the Leinster qualifier because the two lads I know today were fishing it. And they're asking me, what's the next podcast, Tom? And I was telling that you were on it tonight. And I've had 2 fish on the qualifier. So that's how I know.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Yeah. I was out with Hubert Smith. So he had 5. He had 5 and I had 2. So I got them early on in the morning. So I was lucky. I feel like if I wasn't going to get them in the morning, I wasn't going to get them at all. I was lucky there.
And you didn't get to fish with Rebecca, no?
No, I didn't. Which is a pity. I wish I did, but no, now for future, I definitely will.
Mm.
So there's a few competitions like the Melbourne Open. I've been hearing about that. So there's a few I want to get into next year.
Yeah.
Rebecca and Alva, can I ask you, in terms of, we've obviously had International Fly Fishing Women's Day recently. Are initiatives like that to be welcomed positive steps? Do we need to see more of those kind of initiatives in terms of developing the sport towards women? Any ideas or kind of what do you think needs to be done? Rebecca, I might start with you.
I think Maddie Kelly and Susan Brown, I think they run an awful lot of women's days up the north, I think mainly getting women. And I think that's a huge thing, that like girls can come down and actually see experienced women and learn from them firsthand and how to cast and everything. I think that's the main way to go. But yeah, it's just getting it out there and for people to know that these events are on. I think social media will play a big part in that, just spreading awareness and everything. So I think the Women's Day on Facebook is huge. Like, there's people from all around the world posting about it. It's great to see, definitely.
And Ella?
Yeah, it's great to see there's such a big community on International Fishing's Day, or International Ladies Fly Fishing Day, because you kind of do see, like, it's only, you only see your team members, or you only see your own association or your own club or whatever. And then when you on that day, you just realize how big it is internationally, like with women. And so definitely those initiatives are very good for making even girls who like fishing and think, oh no, it's only me who like it. To seeing so many people like enjoying it and like just spending the day on the water. Like it's really good, I think, for encouraging them to keep at it and to just know that they're not weird, or they're not on their own. They're not just like they're the isolated only person in the school to fish. It's like the only person that does it or whatever. And
well, it's, yeah, the no, it's definitely internet,
good. Yeah, it's definitely positive anyway.
Final question. We always ask it to everyone, and you've been given notice. So,
you've been forewarned.
Yeah, exactly. Rebecca, we start with you. What was your most memorable fish?
I think it would have been that first qualifier for the youth team in 2017. It was like my second time out in the boat, and it was for the whole day, had nothing. And then in the last half hour, had a fish on, and that was it, definitely.
That was on Lean. Was it a rainbow from Lean?
No, it was Bane.
Oh, it was on Bane. Oh, it was on Bane.
Yeah.
Was it a rainbow?
Yeah.
What size was it?
Oh, I don't know. It didn't even matter. I was just like, glad I had one. No.
That's about, okay. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
What about you, Elva?
I'd say mine was the first fish I caught on Loch Sheelan there 2 weeks ago. It was just the biggest fish I'd ever caught. And like that day, it was like bucketing rain the entire day. And it was so windy and like perfect conditions for Sheelan, but it was just like, you're just cold and like you wouldn't expect anything. Like there was a few fish jumping, but they were always like ages away, and we were pulling the flies. So like, you don't see any fish, and it just, the fish, he took it like on the hang. So it was literally like, I was kind of talking. I don't know what I was doing, but I was just talking, and this massive fish just came, and then he just playing them for ages. And then it was I think it was 60 and a half centimeters, so roughly about 6.5-7 pounds. So yeah, no, I'm gonna remember that one for a while.
That'll keep you going while you're in the hospital.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Actually, what did you catch him on? And I'll ask you, what did you catch him on, Alva?
That's a secret.
Excellent, I like that. And Rebecca, what did you catch yours on?
I don't know, it might have been a blob. It was so long ago now, I can't really remember, but a good storm or fly.
Such nondescript answers. They're absolutely perfect. They do so well in the competitive scene.
Yeah,
I know. Mine was a stimulator anyway. Stimulator.
Yeah.
Nice. Top dropper.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, look, long may you catch more fish like that.
Yeah.
And guys, continued success for your fly fishing careers, for your international careers, and long may you continue to encourage and, you know, be role models for future generations of younger anglers and female anglers. I'm hoping my youngest Gloria will be in years to come talking about how, you know, she wants to get involved. So thanks a million for joining us on today's podcast, and continued success.
Thanks so much, Dara and Tom. Yeah, thanks for inviting us and giving us the opportunity to talk about it and try to encourage younger women as well to do it. Thanks very much.
Our thanks to Rebecca and Alva for joining us on the show. And don't forget to rate, review and follow the Ireland on the Fly podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Plus, you can keep up to date on IrelandOnTheFly.com as well as on Instagram. And myself and Tom will be back with another episode about the people and places of fly fishing in Ireland. Mayfly time is the pinnacle for most brown trout anglers, and we're pleased to announce our next Ireland on the Fly Masterclass is focusing on mayfly tactics with international angler, guide and renowned fly tyer Jackie Mann.
On Thursday the 25th of April at 8 p.m, Jackie will be discussing how to make the most of the conditions, the best flies and methods to use, as well as giving his tips and insights from a lifetime of experience.
So, to join us for this masterclass on Thursday, 25th of April, just go to www.irelandonthefly.com/masterclass. Tickets cost €10 and all attendees will get a copy of Jackie's notes as well as access to the recording of the webinar afterwards.
And stay tuned for our masterclasses throughout 2024, covering salmon, rivers, lochs, streamers, lures, dries, everything to make you a better salmon or trout fly angler, helping you to catch more this year and to learn from the best. For more information, email us on info@irelandonthefly.com.